After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow.
She was the essence of love. And she was completely, totally, absolutely merged with Maharaja and surrendered to him the same way that Maharaja, you could say, was surrendered to Hanuman or surrendered to Ram.
Welcome to the Krishnadas Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishnadas shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishnadas's podcast, please go to BeHereNowNetwork.com/KD.
Namo namo I can't endure again no more, no more. I can't endure again no more.
No more, no more.
Shani Kali Jaya Jaya. Kala Vena Shani Kali Jaya Jaya.
What are the dream content? What are my dream contents like? That's what the question is. This person asks, do you see yogis or do you sing in there too? And are they accompanied by spiritual rapture? I wish. Last night I dreamt that Ram Dass and I were driving around an old World War II tank. A huge, big, green tank. I don't even know what we were doing. That's the kind of dreams I have. And that's about it. No rapture, no yogis. Every once in a while, maybe somebody comes by to visit, but it's been a while. The Buddhists attribute cause and effect to karma, and the Bhaktas to God. What do I have to say about it? The Jyotish says that the planets affect the mind. What did Baba talk about Jyotish? Baba never talked about Jyotish, which is Indian astrology, Vedic astrology, as opposed to Western astrology. The Buddhists attribute cause and effect to karma and the Bhaktas to God. Ramana Maharshi had said that Ishwara, which is the Lord, the Supreme God, is the distributor of karma, the one that kind of writes the menu for your incarnation, what karmas you're supposed to try to work on, or what karmas you'll face, and what your karmas will and how your karmas will unfold in any particular birth. So Ishwara, God, Ishwara is the supreme personal God. I guess that would be Krishna, Ram, or the avatars are, I think, where you could say that they are Ishwara, they are Bhagavan, they are the God. And they are the distributors of karma. So it's just another way of looking at the same thing. All these things are different ways of looking at the same thing. That much you have to understand. At least as far as I understand, which is what Maharaj used to say to us, sub ek, all one, all one, all one, right? So any kind of discussion about this stuff is simply philosophical and intellectual. Once you realize that you've got to get your shit together and calm your mind and learn how to be a good human being, all that other stuff, big deal, you know. There's no even need to try to understand it. It's good to have a little bit of a background in it so you kind of get the picture, but got to do your stuff. You got to take responsibility for your actions and calm your mind. Find a way to open your heart so that other beings are included, and become a good human being. Did Maharaji ever talk about Ramana Maharshi? Oh, yes, yes. Not too much. I mean, he didn't really talk about, I don't know. The Westerners, at first especially, had very little, we didn't speak Hindi at first. Later, when we learned a little Hindi, it was over the years of meeting the old devotees and hearing their stories that we got a fuller picture of Maharaji's leelas, what the things he did, the things he said. When we were with him, the Westerners were with him, it was just like, it's just like all you want. It was really extraordinary. So we weren't that interested in those things. But anyhow, yeah, there's a story about, and I think it's in, it's in one of the books about either Divine Reality or Miracle of Love, or maybe either one of Dada's books, By His Grace and The Near and the Dear. So the story is Maharaja was up in northern India and sitting with some devotees, and all of a sudden he pulled his blanket up over his head and he started weeping and weeping and weeping. And finally he came out of the blanket and he said, "Bring me some water, bring me some water. He's so thirsty, he's so thirsty. He's in so much pain, he's in so much pain. Bring me some," and he sipped a little water. And then he said, "India's losing such a great saint. India's losing such a great saint." And it was just exactly at the time that Ramana Maharshi was passing. So, that's, and I also heard from Mr. Tiwari that they visited Ramana Ashram, Ramana Maharshi's ashram, way in the south in Tiruvannamalai. They were in a car, they pulled up in front, and the two of them walked, Mr. Tiwari and Maharaji, they walked straight back through the temple, through the ashram, to the back of the ashram that looked out on Arunachala, this sacred mountain. And they stood there for a while, then they turned around and left. They walked through the ashram again, and apparently Ramana Maharshi was in the hall at that time. You know, these beings aren't in their bodies in the first place, so they don't have to go like, hey, I'm here, how you doing? It was enough that they were that close to each other. They're both, you know, incredible beings. Yes, we will chant Om Hum Hanumate Namah today. Where did Maharaji do his tapasya in his young days? What did he say about Kumbh Mela, Gangaji, and the sacred rivers? He might have said many things about these things. I don't really know. I know that he traveled a lot as a very young man. And that he was in a cave for a long time in a town called Nibkarori, which is where he got his name, because it was at that time he kind of finished his preparation, his sadhana, you could say. And he came out of the cave and did all kinds of miracles and all kinds of things, and he became known as the Baba from Nibkarori, which in the northern dialect is Nimkaroli, same place, so. Mostly, as far as we understand, he spent most of his time in UP, in Uttar Pradesh. And later, up in the mountains, he spent a lot of time. And I also heard stories about him down by the Narmada River in Gujarat. And Rajasthan, I guess, maybe Gujarat. So, what was Maharaji's lineage? You know, we don't know who his guru was. We don't really know those things. He didn't talk about it. But his lineage is definitely Hanuman. It's very possible Hanuman himself is Maharaj's guru. Because in the Hanuman Chalisa, at the end it says, bless me as my guru. Kripa karo gurudev ki nahi. And from other sadhus that I had met, they had said similar things. One Baba I met told me that he heard Maharaji, he was sitting with Maharaji in the jungle, and Maharaji would talk to Hanuman as if nobody else could see him, but Maharaji would be having a conversation with Hanuman. So, things like that. The other day I was meditating and I had a vision of a saint. I think it was Siddhi Ma. It felt like she told me not to fret about the impermanent and to sing to God. That sounds like her. Can you talk about Siddhi Ma? You know, it's very hard for me to talk about Siddhi Ma. I've got a block against it because for 30 years, I've known her since 1972. She never wanted to be talked about. She never wanted to be written about. She hid herself very very well. She did not want to be famous. She did not want to be well known. She had no desire for those things. And we understood that. So we didn't really bring people to her. We didn't talk about her for all those years. So it's very hard for me to overcome that. But she was extraordinary. I mean, she was the essence of love, and she had great strength. And whatever she said happened, happened. And she was completely, totally, absolutely merged with Maharaji. This is what I understand. And surrendered to him. The same way that Maharaja, you could say, was surrendered to Hanuman or surrendered to Ram, through that, in that same way. You know, Ma would say, don't ask me for anything. Ask Maharaji. What are you asking me for? So she had merged her separateness in him, in his oneness, in his essence. And when she was there, the temples were spotless. You could eat off the floor anywhere you went. You wouldn't want to, but you could. They were that clean. He had said to her that when a saint leaves the body, his temples become his body. So she treated Kenchi and Bhumidhar and the other, especially the temples in the hills. She treated them as Maharaji's body. She took care of them and made sure they were taken care of properly. She left her family, you know, when they were older and grown. She left her family. Her husband died. Her husband was a lawyer and a hard drinking guy and totally not into anything. But eventually he came around to become one of Maharaji's staunchest devotees. And Maharaji took him all around India to all the Char Dham, the sacred places, pilgrimage places. And then when he died, the Siddhi Ma at that point and Jivanti Ma, the two of them, they came and they started living in the temple with Maharaji and traveling with him. She left her family at that point. And as the years went by, she had less, she saw her family. They would come to see her in the temple, but she didn't go home a lot, back to the family home after some point. This really, you know, she was extraordinarily beautiful and sweet, the sweetest. When she would say your name, you would just melt, you know. And it was with her that I had my two very extraordinarily deep experiences that saved my life and kept me alive and brought me back to Maharaji, through her. Of course, she wouldn't say it was through her because she would just say Maharaji did it, but she was there too. She's one of the greatest saints that ever lived. So, are there any mythical magic gurus or any men or women, I would assume, like Nimkaroli Baba under the radar? Of course, they're always here. They have to be here. They're taking care of everything. They're running the show. There's nowhere they can go. But whether we meet them or not, that's not our choice. We meet them if it's in our best interest to meet them, if they want that to happen. Otherwise, we just do our practice and we try to align ourselves with that grace that's always flowing. But of course, the great saints are always here. They never went anywhere. There's nowhere to go. Somebody wants a list of books that have enriched me. There's a list on my website, krishnadas.com. Somewhere on the website, there's a list of books that's very far from complete. I really have to go back and add a lot more to it. But there's a list of books that I like. How do you keep loving Maharaji, irrespective of all life circumstances? How not to be carried away by hardships? Hardships are hardships. They're hard to deal with. But when you guru yoga or guru's grace, which is really what I practice, the path I practice. It means trying to keep aligned with the grace of the guru, the presence of the guru. So for me, Maharaji is that huge, vast presence in which everything happens. And okay, so I only remember that 2% of the time. But still, that doesn't mean that's not my understanding. That is my understanding, that everything happens inside of him and nothing can happen that isn't supposed to happen. So because I have that little bit of understanding or that little bit of faith, that keeps the channels open between he and I. But he's not out there. He's not somebody else. He's not only is he the presence in which I live, but he's also the living presence within me, so to speak. It all depends how you look at it. But that it's just the point of everything, of all spirituality, is to find a way to stay connected to a deeper reality, and especially when really difficult stuff is happening. That's when it's really useful, because then that stuff does not destroy you. You know, and it's something that gets deeper and comes and goes depending on how difficult the stuff is. But you try to keep your connection open, and that's what regular practice is about. Regular practice helps you remember yourself, helps you remember your perspective on things. And it saves you from being washed away by torments and tormenting mind, obsessive tormenting thoughts and situations. We have to bring ourselves forward to that and into that. That's what practice is about. That's what coming here every week is about. Chanting for me is about entering deeply again into that presence, again and again, and releasing whatever is tormenting me, whether it's my own stuff or. Well, it's always my own stuff. Whether I think somebody else is causing it temporarily or whether it's still my own stuff. So you have to take responsibility for that. It's our reactions to things that hurt us. The things themselves don't hurt us. It's our reaction. And our knee-jerk, reactions that we can't help. Sometimes things are really, really brutally painful, and we do suffer. But how long we suffer has a lot to do with how we understand ourselves and how we understand life and how we go through our lives. Sometimes I've heard tears arise when I me speak of certain things, usually memories of a truth being told. And I've always wondered what makes you cry. Whenever you come into contact with that love, whenever you get a moment's break from the dark little hole that we live in our daily lives, all you can do is cry. The feeling of being released from prison, the feeling of being released from that darkness is so sweet that you can't, the tears come. They're not tears of sadness. They're not even necessarily tears of joy. They're just tears of release, of happiness in a way. It's just, what else can you do? So somebody asked, when Maharaji said, only Jesus died the real death. He never thought of himself, so he died the real death. What he's talking about, the death of the ego, the death of separation, separateness from the rest of all other beings, other universe. He said, Maharaji said, he gave his life for his people. He never died. He lost himself in love. No one understands. He never died. The real death is the death of delusion, separation, separateness, the death of me and the coming to life in recognizing the one within, the one everywhere. That's the real death. That's what he was talking about. I was going to jump in the river and kill myself. He just laughed. Ah, what are you going to do? You can't die. Worldly people don't die. Only Jesus died the real death. What? He never thought of himself. Thoughts of me. Me, 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 me. Me and mine never arose in that being. He's an enlightened being. There's no me left. That's the real death. And he's fully alive and present everywhere at all times in the universe. One, at one, he's become, recognized the oneness of it all. I read a story about Maharaji sitting beside a dying woman in or near Kansas City, Missouri, around 2000. He allegedly spent a week or two at her bedside in the hospital. Thoughts about this? Well, I assume you understand he left the body in 73, right? So this was something. I don't know that story, but I will tell you another story that I do know. I had a very dear friend. And she had kidney failure and she was rushed to the hospital and she went into a coma for 3 days. And when she went to the hospital, she put a little picture of Maharaji on the table next to the bed. She had never met him physically. She knew about him from, you know, books or stories, us. So she really loved him. So she put a picture there near her hospital bed. So she was in this coma for 3 days. She told me this herself. And when she came out of the coma in 3 days, the nurse was fixing her up or treating her. And she said, oh, it's too bad that your grandfather, he must have just left. He's been here for 3 days. He's been sitting here for 3 days. And she said, my grandfather? What do you mean? And the nurse pointed to the picture of Maharaji on the, isn't that your grandfather? He was here while you were in this coma. He was sitting in that chair right there for 3 days. So That happened. She told me that. Do I find it more difficult to live your beliefs here rather than India? That's a good question. In the old days, I would, every time I came back from India, I would crash. I would lose my buzz. And then after 6 months or so, I'd have to run back there for like, what do you call it? Emergency resuscitation. But that's not the case anymore. However, India is a very special place. And I love it there. I really relax there. I kind of forget about living in America. It just all goes away. And I'm very happy just sitting around doing nothing in India. Whereas here in America, I'm too busy. A lot of it has to do with what they call satsang or sangha. In India, you're surrounded, or in the old days anyway, you're surrounded by people who are in some way in touch with something. In America, in the West, we don't have, it's not like that. It's not like that, you know. I always tell people, like when we do a retreat, whether it's just a few days or a day or a week or whatever, I say, now, don't worry, you're going to crash. You're not going to be able to maintain this feeling that has been generated by us being together in this sacred space. And in fact, the first time a gas station attendant looks at you and says, what do you want, super or regular? And looks at you like you're just another piece of shit in the world. You know, that's how long your high will last. Because here in the retreat, you know, we're all giving each other a break. We're all kind of being our best selves in a way. And we get out there in the world and people don't give a shit about you. And that it becomes harder to remember that space within when you're surrounded by people who aren't looking and don't care about it and don't see the world in a particular way. So that's why practice is so important, because you learn how to remind yourself, regardless of what's happening in the outside world. When all this COVID craziness is settled, please come back to Australia. Australia. Oh yeah, I'd love to do that. If I could meet Maharaji now, like back in those days, what would be the one thing you ask to him or tell him? Don't send me back to America. That's the first thing that came to my head. Don't send me back. I had to come back. There's nothing to say to him. He knows everything. He does what he has to do for us. He doesn't need to be reminded. But it's our own minds that pull us out of that space with him. It's our own minds that keep us closed, that put up boundaries and protection and defense mechanisms between ourselves and others, that close our hearts. It's our own minds, our own stuff that make us selfish and afraid and greedy and manipulative and all that stuff. What's to tell him? What's to say? He knows it all. So that's our work. Do our work. Somebody said, I know that you said surrender is not something one can choose to do. Kind of said that. Still, what is it that stops you, me, I guess, or one, from within, from surrendering? Is it lack of faith? You're right. One does not surrender. The ego does not surrender. It does never stops trying to keep itself up and running. And what is the ego? Thoughts, tendencies of the way we think about things, how we see the world. This is our karmically determined version of life. That's what stops us from allowing, that's what stops us from letting go. So we have to practice letting go. That's why when we chant, the very basic and ongoing issue is letting go again and again of whatever you're thinking of being lost in dreamland. Once you notice that you haven't been paying attention to the chanting, you come back again and again and again. And then it's the vasanas or tendencies of our minds that keep taking us away again and again and again. And it's only through practice and grace. If we're practicing, we already have grace. It's only through that work we do on ourselves, that those vasanas are thinned out, and finally, one would hope, they say, one remains at home in one's own soul, so to speak, one's own being. That's surrender, the recognition of who you truly are. So, and surrender can also, you can also see it as a way of thinking about things, so to speak. So, like Ramana Maharshi said, either you do self-inquiry or you surrender to God. And if you surrender, that's it. You don't worry anymore. If you really surrendered, you don't worry. Thoughts even don't arise anymore. You've dropped it all at the feet of the Lord. We can't do that though. We can't do either one. So that's why they're practices. So you can, when you surrender, then everything that happens to you happens by the hand of the Lord, so to speak. And our only response is, thank you. Whether it hurts or it doesn't hurt, whether it's happy or unhappy, high or low, in or out, up or down, thank you. We take it all as prasad. But who are we kidding? You know, we're not ready for that. We like certain things, we don't like other things. You know, so that's why we need to practice again and again and again. Practice, practice, practice. That's all I can say. Practice, practice, practice. Can we do chants and give puja to Hanuman and Maharaji and still be non-vegetarian? You know, Maharaji once said, Hanumanji eats eggs in America. And I've thought about it. What is it? And it must mean that people offer like cookies and cakes to Maharaji that are made with eggs. They offer cookies and cakes to Hanuman. And they don't realize there's eggs in there, but Hanumanji accepts those offerings. So, you know, it's not what you put into the body, into the mouth, like Jesus said, it's what comes out of the mouth that's really important. So if you eat meat, you eat meat. That doesn't mean you can't pray and you can't. However, there are a lot of thoughts about that. Ahimsa, non-harming, non-violence, is a very powerful practice. So, but that's a whole discussion that we don't have time for and that I'm not even qualified to give. But the answer is yes, of course. You don't need to be vegetarian to love God and to pray. Of course not. You're a human. You're a being. That's the first qualification. Certain foods seem to, they say, create heaviness in the mind, in the body, that has to be overcome, in a sense, to some degree, or worked with to some degree in some way. But, you know, just be a good human being. It doesn't matter to me what you eat. And Maharaji never told us to be vegetarian. He was, but we never were required to do anything except hang out and try to be in that love. And he loved us as we are. He wouldn't take his love away if we ate meat. Unless he could see that that was not healthy for us, then he would say it. So, you know, it's more like, if you could get rid of your self-hatred, that would be a lot better than just becoming a vegetarian and hating yourself, still hating yourself. So.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow.
Okay. Let's sing that mantra to Hanuman. Om Hum. Like I hum a tune, although in India that's a short A, ha, a, hum, Hanumate Namaha. Om Hum Hanumate Namaha. Hum Hanumate Namaha. Let's sing this all together. Not call and response, just call and response. Just sing along if you like. Om Hum Hanumate Namaha. Om Hum Hanumate Namaha. Om Hum Hanumate. Om Hum Hanumate. Om Hum
Hanumate Namaha. Om Ham Hanumate Namaha. Om Ham Hanumate Namaha. Om Ham Hanumate. Om Ham Hanumate. Om Ham Hanumate.
Om Ham Hanumate.
Hum, Hanumate. Namaha. Om, Hum, Hanumate. Om, Hum, Hanumate. Om, Hum, Hanumate. Namaha. Om Hum Hanumate. Namaha. Om Hum Hanumate. 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 Namaha. Om Hum Bhagavate Namaha Om Hanumate Om Hanumate Om Hanumate Guru Charan Saroj Raj Jaman Mukur Sudari Varana Raghuvara Vimala Jasu Chodaya Kupala Chari Buddhihin Tanu Janke Miram Pavan Kumasi Aram Palabudhi Vidya Dehum Mohi Kalesh Bika Yavar Ram Chanda Padje Sharanam Jai Hanuman Gyan Guna Saga Jai Kapi Sati Hun Loka Ujaga Ram Duta Tulit Baladham Anjani Putra Pavan Sutanam Mahavira Bikram Bajarangi Umati Nivar Sumati Kesangi Kanchana Varan Biraj Subesa Kanana Kundala Kunchita Kesa Mat Bajror Dvaja Biraj Kande Munja Jane Usaj Suvan Kesari Nanda Eja Pratap Mahajagabanda Vidyavan Guni Ati Chatu Ramakaj Karibeko Atu Prabhu Charita Sunibeko Rasiya Ramalakana Sita Manabasiya Shmarupa Daris Yandekal, Yukatarupa Darilanka Jarava, Imarupa Darir Sur Sahar, Ramachandra के काज संवार लाए सजीवन लखन जे आए श्री रघुबीर शिर लाए रघुपति कीन ही बहुत बराए मम मम प्रिय बरताए सम भाए अस बदन तुम्हारो जस गाव अस कै श्रीपति खंत लगाव सनकाद कब्रामाद मुनीस नारद शारद सहित अहिस यम कुबेर दिगपाल जहांते कभी को बिद कै सके कहांते उपकार सुग्रीव कीन राम मिलाय राज पद दीन मरो मंत्र विभीषण मान लंकेश्वर भय सब जग जान सहस्र जो जन परबान योताई मुदुर पल जान प्रभु मुद्रिक मेले मुख माही चल दिलंग गए अचर जनाही दुर्गम काज जगत खे जेते सुगम अनुग्रह तुमरे ते ते राम दुवारे मरकवारे ओतना आज्ञा दिन पे जाए अब सुख लाहे तुम्हारे शरण मरा चक काहू को दरन अपन तेज समारो आपे तीनों लोक हांकते कांपे पुत पिशाच निकट नहीं आवे महावीर जब नाम सुनावे नासे रोग हरे सब पीरा जपत निरंतर हनुमत बीर संकट ते हनुमान छुरावे मन क्रम बचन ध्यान जो लावे जप परा राम तपस्वे राज तीन के काज सकल तुम साज और मनोरथ जो खोवे लावे सोवे अमित जीवन पल पावे चारों युग परताप तुम्हार है प्रसिद्ध जगत उजियार साधु संत के तुम रखवार असुर निकंदन राम दुलार अष्ट सिद्धि नो निधि के दाता असवर दीन जान की माता राम रसायन तुम्हारे पास सदा रहो रघुपति के दास तुम्हारे भजन राम को पावे जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे अंत काल रघुवर पुर जाय जहां जन्म हर भक्त कहाय और देवता चित्त न डरे हनुमत से सर्व सुख करे कट कटे मिटे सब पीर जो सुमेरे हनुमत बलबीर जे 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 हनुमान गोसाई कृपा करो गुरुदेव की नाई ओ सत बार पाठ कर को चुट ही बन्नी महासुख होय जो यह पर हनुमान चलीस होया सिद्धि साकी गौरीस तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेर कीजे नाथ हृदय मंदिर भवन तनय संकट हरन मंगल मूर्ति रूप सिया राम राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बस सुर भूप सियावर राम चंद्र पर जे शरण Mangala Murti Martha Nanda Sakala Amangala Mula Nikanda Mangala Murti Martha Nanda Sakala Amangala Mula Nikanda Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Bolo Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram 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 Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai 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 Sita Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
If we know anything about a path at all, if we know there might be a way to live in this world in a good way, with an open heart, without fear, it's only because of the great beings that have gone before us on this path. Out of their love, out of their kindness, they left some footprints for us to follow. So, in the same way that they wish for us, in the same way that they wish for us, we wish that all beings everywhere, all of us are safe, all of us are happy, all of us have good health and enough food to eat. And may we all live in peace and at ease of heart. At ease of heart with whatever comes to us in life. Namaste. Take good care.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.